Every summer, the church where I grew up partnered with several other local churches to put on a huge vacation Bible school. The churches would begin to meet together in January to come up with a biblical theme, and then they'd continue to meet throughout the spring, finding different ways to incorporate the biblical theme with crafts and games and songs and all of the other VBS-associated activities. In many ways, it is very similar to our own Helping Hands camp that Covenant helps put together every summer for children in our community. Which reminds me, if you are interested in volunteering for Helping Hands, see Coralie Clark after the service. Raise your hand, Coralie. Thank you. Sometimes coming up with the theme was pretty easy. One year we did the Fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, and each age group was named after a different type of fruit. And each day we covered one or two of the fruits of the Spirit. Love on Monday, joy on Tuesday, kindness on Wednesday, self-control every day, and so on. But some themes were harder than others to flesh out. One year in particular was difficult. When we decided to do the liturgical calendar as our theme, it started off well enough. We began on Monday with the liturgical New Year, Christ the King Sunday. Then we had Advent and Christmas all on one day. Tuesday was Ash Wednesday and Lent. Wednesday was Holy Week. Thursday was Pentecost. And then we got to Friday, ordinary time. So we began to plan out activities. We started to run into difficulties. What are some Bible stories about ordinary time? How many songs are there about ordinary time? Are there games? Crafts? We were stumped. I mean, what even is ordinary time? It's the longest part of our liturgical calendar, and yet we rarely give it much thought. I did a little bit of research on ordinary time this week and learned a few interesting things. First of all, the word ordinary does not mean that these are just boring, ordinary Sundays, but rather it comes from the word ordinal, meaning that these are Sundays to be counted in a sequence. The season of ordinary time lasts either 33 or 34 weeks, depending on the calendar year. And so as we get closer to Advent, you might see church bulletins that have the 32nd week of ordinary time written under the date. As you can see from our paraments and our banners, the liturgical color of ordinary time is green. According to a Catholic website, this is either because green represents hope, like the hope we feel when we see the first buds of springtime, or the more practical reason that ordinary time is the longest liturgical season, and green plant dyes would have been one of the most widely available dyes. I have a friend in Memphis who follows the liturgical calendar so closely that the ties that he wears in Advent grow increasingly darker in their shades of purple as we moved closer to Christmas each week. He did not attempt this during ordinary time. There is no way AJ could have found that many green ties. Although when I sent him this paragraph last night, he did text back, challenge accepted. So we'll have to see. Ordinary time looks different among different traditions. The Roman Catholic Church breaks up their ordinary time with feast days and memorial days. Some Methodists and Presbyterians mark the days between Reformation Sunday and Christ the King Sunday as Kingdom Tide, a time set aside to remember who Christ is for us today and in the future. And some Lutheran traditions refer to that same set of Sundays as the season of end times, which, if I'm being honest, I'm grateful we do not follow. Our Reformed tradition sometimes varies between considering this time between Epiphany and Lent to be either ordinary time or the season of Epiphany. Either one goes. This may seem like an arbitrary decision. What difference does it make what season we're in? But I think it might point to a larger issue for us Christians. Let's remember back to Epiphany. We observed it on the Sunday closest to January 6th, and it celebrates the arrival of the Magi to Bethlehem, as well as the revelation of God incarnate as Jesus Christ. Epiphany celebrates God with us in human form. It's quite a celebration when we look at the significance behind it. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the world changed forever. And once Epiphany passes, what's left to celebrate? The season that we're in right now, the 7 or so weeks between Epiphany and the next big season of Lent, is ordinary time. Nothing exciting, nothing spectacular, just 7 weeks of January and February, of blah, rainy days, of winter, of ordinary time. But I think it's important for us to recognize these days for what they are, ordinary. Because sometimes it's important for us to be reminded that extraordinary things happen under ordinary circumstances. That's what the day started out like for the brother duos of Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John. An ordinary day. They woke up that morning like they always did, ate breakfast like they always did, gathered their nets and their other supplies like they always did, and then went to work like they always did. Just your average run-of-the-mill Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. Perhaps they were content with their lives on the shore, or perhaps they were discontent. Maybe they had been dreaming of travel or of being a part of something bigger than themselves. Or maybe they felt completely fulfilled in their vocations as fishermen. We don't know. But what we do know is that when Jesus came walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee that day and said to Simon, Peter, and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people," the brothers immediately followed. And when he issued a similar call to James and John, they also cast their nets aside and followed. Matthew tells us that they all did this immediately. We even learn that James and John not only leave their boat behind, but their father as well. What did they see in Jesus that day on the shore? What was it about this stranger that compelled them to follow? It was an ordinary day. There wasn't an angel chorus or a star to guide them. That had already happened. There wasn't a parade of people waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna. That hadn't happened yet. There wasn't anything particularly exciting about this exchange, and yet they followed. The first disciples that Jesus calls in Matthew show us what it means to be a disciple. Jesus simply says, "Follow me," and they do. We know how the story will continue from here. In fact, Matthew gives us a bit of a preview of what their days will be like now that they're on the road with the Messiah. Our lectionary passage ends today with verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. An ordinary day began with the same old, same old. And yet, because of their willingness to follow Christ, they were witnesses to the extraordinary. Because of their willingness to follow, they learned how to fish for people, how to share the good news of Jesus Christ with each person that they met. They witnessed the extraordinary on what was supposed to be just an ordinary day. It's important for us to spend some of our days in ordinary time, because it is in the everyday that we are truly challenged to be disciples. Ordinary time is ordinary in part because of what it is not. It is not Advent or Christmas or Lent or Easter, writes theologian David Toole. It is not, therefore, the time during which the church is engaged in preparations for or celebrations of the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Ordinary time is also ordinary because of what it is. It is the liturgical season that makes up most of our time. It is the time during which we are called, like Peter and Andrew, to follow Jesus, not because of the star that announced his birth, nor yet because of the excitement conjured by the promise of a trip to Jerusalem, but simply because he has said, "Follow me." These Sundays in ordinary time aren't just an in-between time for us, a liminal space between high holy days. It's a time for us to examine how we answer the call to discipleship on the days in between. On Monday mornings when we forgot to study for a test, or on Tuesday's working lunch, or on Wednesday's grocery shopping trip, or Thursday's very early morning workout. How do we answer Jesus' call to follow him in our everyday lives? The call issued to the first disciples, the simple "follow me," isn't only reserved for them. It's a call that is extended to us, that we choose to follow each day. Each ordinary day, we are given the opportunity to follow Christ into unexpected, extraordinary places. We are invited to see our ordinary lives with extraordinary eyes and find the opportunities for discipleship waiting for us there. When I first started here at Covenant, Kate Rasko, the parish associate at the time, took me over to Baldwin Park to meet the Covenant members who lived there. As I met them, I learned that a few of them played trivia during lunch every Tuesday. As a bit of a trivia nerd myself, I was really excited about this. I told them that I'd come the following Tuesday and play with them. Pretty soon, I was attending trivia lunches a few times a month and pinching myself that I got to call this work. But after a few months of trivia, one of the members of the group called me at work. She told me that her husband had been a United Church of Christ minister, and that for her, communion was a sacrament that should be celebrated every week. She told me that the chaplain who held services on Sundays came from a tradition that only provided communion to church members, and so he wouldn't serve communion at Baldwin Park. She was wondering if I would be willing to lead a small communion service there every month. I got session approval. Thank you, session. And since then, a Covenant elder and I have been serving communion every month to the dear residents at Baldwin Park. I've gotten to know these lovely people. I've worshipped with them through an entire liturgical year, and it's been fun to see how we are developing traditions, like giving out star words at Epiphany, or singing the doxology after communion, or bringing members of our own choir there on Christmas Eve for brief lessons and carol service. It's given me a deeper appreciation for the sacrament of communion and has made me really think about what it means to me. It has been a privilege to serve these wonderful residents. And 2 weeks ago, our confirmation class made the bread that we will have at communion next month at Baldwin Park. It all came out of an ordinary obsession with trivia, followed by an extraordinary phone call. In a few moments, we will sing a hymn that is relatively new, hymn-wise, but that has grown in popularity among Christians, both young and old. The Summons, written by John Bell, a member of the Iona community in Scotland, contains 13 questions in Christ's voice. "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name?" It reminds us of the story in Matthew. Reminds us of how the fishermen immediately follow Christ without interrogation or protest or skepticism. But the other questions that come from Christ in the summons really shows us what is at stake when we say yes to the extraordinary life in Christ. Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare should your life attract or scare? Will you let the blinded see? Will you set the prisoner free? Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as these unseen and admit to what I am in you and you in me? These are the questions that we are confronted with during this season of ordinary time. Over the next few weeks, we will hear more and more of Christ's short time of public ministry, how he healed and taught, challenged and loved. As another theologian writes, though it is not untrue to say that Jesus came to earth to die, it is more true to the Gospels to say that he came first to live. He came to announce, invite sinners into, proclaim the demands of, and in the end bring in God's kingdom. So let's not rush toward Lent and the next season of the liturgical calendar, but let's sit in ordinary time, counting our weeks together, and really get comfortable as we study Christ's life and the call that he extended so long ago that is still extended to us this day. In his essay on this Matthew text, David Toole concludes, in this slice of ordinary time that is also an extended celebration of Epiphany, we are called, like Peter and Andrew, to follow Jesus and, in following him, to listen to him as he commands repentance and proclaims the good news of the kingdom. No bright stars, no earthquakes, just a voice that strikes our ear amid the ordinariness of our lives and announces that God is with us. Let anyone with ears hear. All praise be to God. Amen.